Welcome back, everybody, to the Who Do You Like Here podcast. Joey Cino. I got the kid with me. Another fantastic week of handicapping. Coming off a very dismal week of handicapping. Not even handicapping, just of racing.
Yeah, I don't think last week was anything to write home about.
The debacle at Tampa.
What a shit show.
Crazy.
Yep.
Crazy. But exciting episode today. Scheduled to have Saffy Joseph Jr. on the podcast today. Saffy's actually at the Ocala Sales. Unable to come on, so we reschedule him. He will be on next week. So a little postponement. So you just get more of me and the kid talking shit.
I'd say that's a little bit more important.
I don't know. Coming on here is pretty important.
I mean, guaranteed wins after you come on the podcast. So
that is true. That is true. Maybe he's saving it for Florida Derby. Who knows? But scheduled for next week, he should be on. So we're excited about having him on next week. So recapping last week, though, the tote board issues at Tampa Bay Downs. Been the talk, this antiquated system that's been being used. It's pretty bad. Another day in the limelight to show that we're the sport's really still fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens, especially on a big day like this. You know, I mean, maybe if it happens on a Thursday, there's nothing going on. Sure, fine, whatever. But for it to happen on the big day,
Derby prep day,
can't even watch the race really. You know,
can't bet on it.
I mean, I couldn't watch it. I wasn't at home, so you couldn't watch it on TwinSpires. I had it blacked out.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty embarrassing, I guess, on a day like this, you know, for this to happen, you know.
Is that Stronach Group? All the tracks that were tied in.
They were all affected, yeah.
Aqueduct, Oaklawn, some Peruvian track. I don't know.
Santa Anita, Gulfstream, I think, were the big ones. Tampa, all of them were affected. But yeah, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you let that happen. And I haven't really seen much on how it happened or if they figured out what it was or the error rectified it.
Yeah.
It's just a shit show. And then to come out and say like, oh, it's not the tote. It's not like, you know, placing blame on us is not, you know, a fair thing. It's like, what are you talking
about? It's your product.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It was just an asinine, you know, to come out and say that and try to save face, but ultimately just made it worse, in my opinion. It's like,
agreed.
From a betting standpoint, you know, the people that get screwed are not the people that are running it. It's the people that are, you know, keeping the sport alive, you know, with the blood, sweat, and tears and all the money everybody puts into it. Those are the people that typically get screwed. You know, refunded bets across the board.
Yeah, your horizontal wagers. You know, the guys that were alive going into these horizontal wagers, and then you get to stop the wait and cancel the last race, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah. Which, going back to what we did, if you follow the podcast and you listen last week, you know, we handicapped the last five races, which is typically your pick five. Unfortunately, the pick five was the race prior to our handicapping and ended at the Tampa Bay Derby. And then they have one more race, which I don't recall seeing it before. I think it's kind of odd that you don't have the pick five in the last five races. Why you would want to end it just on the Tampa Bay Derby.
Yep.
Didn't really make a lot of sense, but it didn't matter anyways because you got refunded. So
yeah, just a lack of transparency. You know, it's like tote board issue. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean?
I don't know how the fucking tote board works.
I know very little about this.
Where they're taking in all their information from the CAWs and all the online wagers.
What does that mean? Were you guys hacked? Where was there somebody that hacked into your system and threw away all the numbers? Was there somebody placing a gigantic wager after the bell or was there before? Like what happened?
What caused it?
No idea what caused
it. How are you going to prevent it from happening again?
And if you did see it, let me know. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't see what actually caused the issue. I don't know how they fixed the issue. Seems like an outdated system.
I've seen a lot of replies or a lot of things about it, but I never got the explanation, I guess, or at least in layman's term as to what actually happened. So I don't really know, nor do I really give a fuck. I just want to know how they're fixing it in the future. A and B, you know, how do you go back and resolve the non-wagering issues for the big race and the horizontals?
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
how do you make that up?
So I'm looking right now. It says as a result of communication outage, it happened. It's being investigated. Yeah. Nothing's probably going to come of it. So it's just, yeah, it's being investigated. We're looking into it.
But
yeah,
that's a government cover up right there.
Yeah.
That's what they usually say. Yeah, we're looking into it 30 days later. Like, well, it's 30 days. We don't look into it after 30 days.
Yeah. It's just, have no idea. Again, it's very frustrating from a betting perspective. You know, if you're spending your time and your money on a product that doesn't really respect you back all the time, you know,
continually.
It's just, yeah. It happens on, I wouldn't say the tote board issue happens all the time, but just different issues are always affecting the bettors in a negative fashion.
Meanwhile, the takeout increases.
Yeah. You guys get paid more for fucking up more. Right. Congratulations.
Yeah. Pretty disheartening.
So yeah, it's just a bad look on the day overall. Not to mention I don't think I'll ever bet Tampa again.
It has not been our track that we've been. It hasn't been good to us.
No,
on our angle, and it obviously hasn't been good to anybody last week. But it's just a track that I would gladly avoid, I guess, if I had to bet anything. If that was the only track, I probably would skip that day.
I just need to know what happened in that race.
Well,
I need to know why and what happened, because I have some questions that need to be answered, I think.
So, a domestic product wins the race, right?
Yeah.
Tyler Gaffney, congratulations, Tyler, by the way. So, domestic product wins the race. Is a pretty close four-horse finish, I guess, in the race overall.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the one where they ran a 54.
Oh, the 51?
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah.
52 half? That was the beginning. That was the first leg of the race where the 7 with Junior Alvarado, the 1 Fluffy Sox with Irad, who was actually up close in that race. Didn't really how they let the 3 get away with the slowest fractions I've seen at a half. 52. That was
it was race 9.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. I guess a lack of awareness on a jockey's side. I mean, like, when you look at the fractions, you see the way it was going. Nobody pushed the 3 horse at all.
Well, market segmentation scratches. So your speed in the race, one of the speeds are gone. That's it.
Correct.
He's out of the race. So now the new speed is probably the 7 in my eyes should have been near the front, right? We predicted the 7 should probably be in the front. Maybe that would be a speed duel, set it up for the 1 to close. And the 3 gets a lead, 4 sits off second, the 1 sits third. The 7 is back, choking him the whole
Junior
way.
Junior is strangling the horse the entire way. Back
the whole entire way.
Thinking that he must have a ton of horse. Because
the only speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have played the same game as the 3 and gone out there and see if you could milk the fractions or sit off his flank if they're going to let him run 52. The 7 would have had a better shot, and he didn't try to even move him until the top of the stretch, and it was way too late at that time.
Yeah, they ran a quarter at 25 and then slowed it down even further, the half, for a 52.
Yeah.
Again, at no point in the race
did anybody
push the speed. Nobody pushed the speed at all.
Well, who was on the 3?
Jorge Ruiz? Yeah, I believe it's Jorge Ruiz.
I mean, he's got to be on the front going, what the fuck's going on? Because he didn't think he would be there.
Jorge Ruiz.
He didn't think he would be there, and he didn't have to do anything but just sit there and not do anything and just coast to the front. And then he had plenty of horse left at the top of the stretch. I mean, for Fluffy Sox to be as close as he was in that race, typically a horse comes off 7-8 lengths, you know, off a closing. They knew that there was no speed in the race, had to be close, but man, clock in your head that says there's nothing going on here, I got to move sooner?
So at what point in the race, like Irad specifically, right? Irad's on the favorite. Irad's on the horse that should win this race. At what point is he looking at this and saying, these are way too slow, I need to be closer. At what point do you say that as a jockey, as a jockey of that caliber, at what point do you do that? Because that was probably the worst race I've ever seen in terms of, you know, upper echelon jockeys not understanding or reading the race.
Yeah. Mid-race. Or their internal clock.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like it was like a race where they're like, whatever. Like, it was like almost like, oh, let's take this race off. Like, I don't give a shit kind of race. Like,
felt that way.
Because for whatever reason, they ran a 25 quarter, they ran a 52 half, a 117 three quarter, and then a 141 mile. It was the slowest race I've ever seen in my life.
At least the first half looked like nobody wanted to lead, which nobody did. Nobody wanted to move, and nobody did. And then finally, they raced the last half mile, if you really ask me. That's when the action started, and it just merry-go-round.
Yeah, as soon as they hit the turn, they're like, oh, let's go, and let's all try to go for the lead. And the 3 just had way more left in the tank.
I thought Irad would have moved at the half. At that point, I'm like, well, he's got to go. Yeah, I know there's no speed, but he's got to go now. He's got to start moving them. And listen, they've been doing this long enough, longer than, you know, there's nothing I'm going to give you on this other than watch the race and say, I don't understand it. So no speed, the three just went there and walked home.
If I could have live bet the race, I would have live bet that three at the half.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At the half. I may even do it at the quarter. But if I could live bet it and seen what the fractions were, 1,000 times out of 1,000 times, I'm putting all my money on that three horse.
I see 25 and a chokehold on the seven.
Yeah.
Whatever I can put on the three.
The fact that Junior, like, not, I mean, it was my top pick, sure, whatever. But if you put that aside and you just watch the race as a whole, he was on the outside, had clear racing room. Was holding the horse back. I mean, like, legitimately holding the horse back. You can see him pulling the horse's head back.
Yeah, his feet in the dashboard.
Yeah, he knew he had a ton of horse, and he was just saving this horse, like, don't go out to the front. We're going to just blow past everybody. And then as soon as they hit the turn, he was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Gone. Just done. The horse was too busy fighting.
Well, everybody moving at the three quarters. Yeah. Like, it's too late. You're not making up ground on the lead when you go 52 at the half. Anyways, that was pretty much a shit show right there. That already started.
After that race happened, I was like, okay, that's going to be the kind of day we're going to have. You right. know, like, that's how we're starting off the day.
Yeah.
The race prior to it, we were right there. There's a big price, and Javier Castellano just gets up at the shadow of the wire.
Yeah.
You know,
strong race.
Yeah. Very, very close race between him and Jose, which Jose was a good price. I think it was like 8-1 on Jose.
Third leg hit the third leg vertical and then didn't get paid for it till I think the next morning.
Yep.
And that's when the nightmare began. But
and then then domestic product wins, but nobody can bet on it.
Yeah. Listen, honestly, you're probably looking at the two chalks that actually came first and second regardless in that race. There was no price there really to be had. But it really sucks for the verticals and canceling the last race and not even knowing. Because that's where the payout really was going to come in, was in that last race, because it was pretty wide open. If you were going to try to catch any kind of a price on a horizontal pick five, four. Nonetheless, never know. And that's it for Tampa.
So. Yeah, and thank God Tampa's over, or like we're done with Tampa.
At least for this year.
Yeah, I can't handle any more of that. I mean, that it just, I don't know. Maybe I just got a negative outlook on that track in general.
Taste but, in your mouth.
Back to back, you know, podcast picks there, and
just, they screwed you.
Yeah, yeah.
You went through the drive thru and got home and got shorted.
Yep, left my cheeseburger at the shop.
What else going on in the world of sports? Obviously, we know it's March Madness week. A lot of the championship games going on this week, and then selection Sunday. Any projections?
I mean, Syracuse is out of it.
Yeah, they were out of it before they even played.
If they would have went decent, you know, decently far in the ACC tournament, maybe they could have put their name into the hat, but
they would have had to beat Duke, Clemson, or Virginia, and then face North Carolina after they beat San Diego's North Carolina State, which they couldn't. Clemson was losing. I didn't watch the game. Clemson was losing last night. I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of the tournaments as much as I usually do. I'll probably catch up more on some of it later in the week here on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Try to handicap my best going into the tournament for predictions at that point. But
I've been watching a little bit. Houston looks really good. I'm not sold by UConn at all.
Yeah,
UConn is so good. I don't think they're good. I mean, I think they're good, but I don't think they're
I think it's because you watched the one game that they struggled.
Well, I just watched them struggle against, was it Xavier? Played Xavier. I think it was Xavier. I forget who it was, but whoever they played yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I don't know. Days are blending, but they just didn't look good. It was like a 3-point game. I mean, this dominant UConn team is not very dominant, in my opinion. But
I will get rid of Arizona after the first round. That's usually a gimme for me. They don't look as strong as they always are in this position where they're like a one or a two, and then they don't do much.
Yeah, I mean, there's some teams out there, some sleepers, but I think it's going to be a little bit more wide open this year. I think Houston looks legit, but I could very well see, Houston, I watched today, actually. I watched a lot of that basketball game, and they play just a different style of basketball that other people don't play. But, March Madness is in full swing, full effect.
Yeah. I think I'm not going to take anything away from Houston. They've been pretty good since Samson started coaching them.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know how many years that's been now.
A handful of years, yeah.
Yeah, a couple, three or four. I think UConn still can be tough. I know you don't like them as much. North Carolina, they're streaky. They're a streaky team. It's all going to depend on where they go. Kansas
sucks.
They did not look good. I thought they'd be better.
I think everybody in the country thought they'd be better. Nobody thought they'd lose last night.
Is that the kid that dislocated his shoulder? Was that for Kansas?
Yeah, he played for Michigan last year.
Like, I can't remember his name, but I mean, is he even able to play? Is he, I don't even know what's going on with him. I saw his elbow sticking out like a chicken wing. I'm like, or his shoulder blade. I'm like, yeah, that can't be good. Didn't look like much either, but it was pretty major.
Yeah. Hunter Dickinson.
Dickinson.
Yeah, that's correct. He like dislocated his shoulder last game or whatever, but Cincinnati manhandled him, beat him by 20. 11 versus 6. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a little bit open. I don't really know who's going to win. It obviously depends on where everybody's seated and where they put everybody. But I think we're going to see some upsets this year. I think we're going to see some teams out there that people maybe weren't very high on going into the tournament. You know, turn it up a notch.
Let's get some upsets this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. NFL season is the off season is in full effect. Atlanta's finally making some moves, which I've never seen before.
It's nice to see the Falcons actually doing something besides waiting for the season to start with the same shit team that they normally carry from year to year. So going after Cousins was big. And then who'd they pick up on wide receiver? They got Mooney? They got Moore? Or who'd they get?
No, they got Rondell Moore.
Rondell Moore. Yep. That's who they got.
Rondell Moore. They got...
obviously, they still have the weapons.
Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
I mean...
they re-signed Hodges. They've got Van Jefferson.
Right, Bijan
Pitts. Pitts. London, yeah.
Algier.
Look good. I think pretty solid additions to the team, but...
they got to do something on the defense.
Yeah, defensively, I mean, that's what the draft is for, I think. They're going to try to get some young guys, but ultimately, it's nice to see, like I said, nice to see some guys getting added to a roster. So even though football season's months away, it's... exciting to see some news in the NFL world, but ultimately sports, this is kind of a little bit of a lull week other than March Madness starting next week. Racing wise, we're going to handicap the Gulfstream card, but
yeah, no prep race this week, so
not a big race weekend.
Yeah, but it's the calm before the storm, because then we hit multiple prep races per week for a couple weeks, Florida Derby, and then a couple more, and then we got the 4 week stretch before the Derby.
Yep.
So kind of see where things lay out. Interesting. We'll probably talk more about the point standings and kind of where everything is, where the horses are sitting at, and see who's on the cusp of making it.
Yeah.
And see if actually hitting the board in one of these races is actually going to get you in this year. It's questionable on the 100-point races. Yeah. But on the 50 points, I don't know if those horses are going to make it in.
I don't know. It'll be interesting once we get down to crunch time, see where everybody lays.
Yeah. We got a few of these horses from the earlier prep races actually running their next, when Keeneland opens up, that's when you really start seeing the second time around, second time options or off winners from prep races and how they fare second time out prior to Derby. So a lot of interesting stuff coming up right now, but I'm okay with a quiet week this week.
Me too.
I got too much to focus on for March Madness coming up anyway. So we can go ahead and go right into the handicapping portion of our podcast. We're going to go to Gulfstream Park this week. Thought we'd have Safi on. Didn't have Safi, but we're going to stay with Gulfstream because that's where we handicapped at. We're going to cover the late pick five races 8 through 12. Kind of a weird card, if you ask me. A lot of these are non-winner races, some allowance and claiming races, and then a maiden race. So not your typical what you normally see on a Saturday, but I think they have a lot of big days coming up that they're just, they had to fill some of these races up on one of these days during the week, and it just happened to be on Saturday. But overall, we'll go through them. Eighth race is 7.5 furlongs. It's on the turf. It's an allowance, 25,000 condition, purse of 37,000 for 4-year-olds and upwards, which have started for a claiming price of 25,000 or less. Never won a race other than maiden claiming or state bred allowance. Rails at 31 feet.
Did verify that the pick five starts in race 8 though this week.
Yeah, that is confirmed. Yeah, your normal tracks that know how to do shit, they keep it pretty
easy. We're going to start in the third race, and it's going to go to the seventh race.
It's so stupid. When handicapping this race, it was a little tougher than me. I think I had a hard time handicapping in general. I don't know if it's just the card or if it's just a lot of open opportunities, but I'm going to go with the 6 Citizen K. The open companies, good work. I just like the opportunity that he's staying where he's at here. Allowance 25,000, a little bit of a jump, but he's running in 25,000 claiming. It was sticking with Tyler Gaffleon. Now you get Saez on him. And for Bobby DeBono, who's obviously the barn's doing well, he's having a good year at Gulfstream Park. And I just think that the distance here, pretty key here for going 7.5 furlongs, has been running a mile the first two times out this year. And once he got away from the state breds, has been running really decent. And I see the form is pretty good. March 9th, I really like the work out there, 48-1. So the horse is fresh. You are getting Saez on it. Tyler's getting off this horse and going to another one. I just think the horse really fits the bill. And I don't know. I don't look at the odds. I don't try to focus on that, but I know it's probably going to be highly touted. So it could be co-choice. I'm going to put the 3. Because that's where Tyler did go. Desolator, this is one that has a late moving kick. Went to optional claiming 50,000 last time, but is getting a little bit of a shorter distance, cutting back here from a mile and 16th down to 7.5 furlongs. Martin Drexler, another trainer having a great year over at at Gulfstream Park. So that combination works out pretty well. The other two that I'm going to throw on the card, and I got a lot of underneath for the try, which I'm not going to get into, but I thought the five was interesting as well. Mr. Crowley, the only thing I didn't like here, the cutback helps in distance. It's a smaller barn that hasn't been really doing too well. Saez got off of this one and obviously went to my top choice. But Mr. Crowley he's 2-for-2 on the turf. And, you know, they've been running this horse pretty much dominantly on synthetic. So I think the surface change back over to turf bodes well, and the horse has been in pretty good form on the two times out. Likes to get to the front. I wish I just had more data on the turf. I probably will look into that a little more and see exactly if the running style doesn't change from synthetic to turf. I'm assuming it's still forwardly placed. And if so, I think Mr. Crowley is a good shot underneath as an opportunity. And last but not least, I'm going to throw that 8 on the ticket. The one thing I've learned at some of these races is on these kind of days where it's kind of like lull, no giant big stakes races, this is where Paco usually does his best. And when he rides for Peter Walder, he hasn't had the best of opportunities, but I mean, I know he's a consistent rider when it comes to church, to Gulfstream Park. And the two races that you got him on this horse from January 10th and February 15th have been two solid races, 85 and 78 speed figures. It was a claiming 18,000 condition on winners of three, and then allowance 25,000. Cutback and distance, I think, helps here. And the outside position is a little tricky, but I seen Paco go to the front, hustle up, and be able to settle down and still be able there for the end. So the 8's got to be one I got to keep on the ticket as well. Really interesting race overall. There's a couple here that I think, I don't know why these horses are even in the race. I was really confused on a couple horses that have no published works, but are actually looking pretty good in the race days. So really throwing me off. This would be a big spread race if I was doing verticals, but I'm going to go 6 with the 3, 5, 8.
Yeah, I have the 8 on top. I think Paco and Peter Walder teaming up here in this spot, 20% trainers route to sprint. So I think, shortening up in the distance there, it's going to be very well for this horse. It's going to work out better. I think last time out when they tried the turf, right, or got back onto the turf, they had a strategy of getting as close as possible the entire way. I think ultimately the distance was too much and the fractions were maybe a little bit too fast for this horse. So I think Paco knows, okay, we can't be up in the front and facing murderous fractions like we did last time. We have to sit back and run closer to a 24 like it did the start prior. And when it ran that 24 speed figure, it ran just maybe a little bit over that, kind of just sat right off the pace. It was able to close down and win the race by almost 2 lengths. So I think that, they tried something that didn't work necessarily last time out, but I think Paco knows exactly where he needs to put this horse to be successful. He knows what time he needs to run. So I think that's going to be a little feather in his cap when you go into this race. I think it's going to be interesting with the 5 and the 6 as well. I think the 5, for everything you said, throwing it on the card, yeah, they've been running on all weather. I think the surface change probably won't make too much of a distance, but again, shortening up in distance, I think, is important. It's going to be the speed. I think this horse is going to go to the front, but I think it's going to fade late ultimately, but holding on to second place, clinging for life at the end. And I think the 6, same thing. I think he's going to go out there. He's going to sit off the pace. He's going to sit and try to bide his time. Obviously, it's Saez, Citizen K. I think for everything you look at on the form, probably going to go off as a favorite, I would think. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think the turf shortening up in the distance, that last race being able to close 6 lengths and then win by, almost a length, proved very well, but I think they're going to be a little bit closer. So I think coming late, Bobby DeBono is going to have this horse primed and ready to go coming down the stretch. But I really do like Paco and his opportunity here with this horse, second time out with the new barn, with the tactic change, I think is going to happen. So I've got 8 with the 5-6, the 6 coming late, 5 clinging to life, but the 8 ultimately taking down the show.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more from the pace structure. I think the 5 is definitely there. The 7 began in Greenpoint should be the speed should be going right with the 5. If not, the workouts really indicate you got some really nice bullet workouts. Well, not bullets, but I mean a 3 furlong 36 and a 3 furlong and 35. They've got this horse likes to get out the gate, breaks really well. John Velasquez, if he's going to win a race, he better get to the front because he sure as hell hasn't been able to do it from behind lately. So
it's just such a murderous pace that's going to set up. So the only fear that I have is this horse goes out there and for some reason the 5 doesn't break.
My concern because the 5 is a little more tactical and can set off. And if they let the same thing we just talked about in the Tampa Bay Derby happen with the 7, then the 7's going to walk home. Right. The speed figures have been good. And I would say that the fractions have been pretty solid. I think it's just, going to 7.5 furlongs is the question here because it's usually running 5, 5.5.
Right.
But again, you let him go and John knows at the top how to rate. That's one horse. That's one jockey who knows how to rate at the top. So just don't give him the clean run all the way and not press.
Correct.
I need Jose to press.
That's a fear of mine as well.
There you go. Ninth race, 5.5 furlongs on the all-weather Tapetta, claiming $10,000, purse of $26,000 for fillies and mares, 4 years old and up. I'm going to stay the inside. Avatel Hero, one. Luis Saez, Guadalupe Preciado. Problem I have with this horse that I really probably wouldn't just like single and key here is that, you know, they've changed a couple tactics on here. We're going to 5.5 furlongs. The horse pretty much runs 5 and 5.5 pretty religiously on the Tapetta. And I think that if this was more 5 furlongs, I would probably feel a little better than the 5.5 just in recent form. They did move into optional claiming 20,000 against State Breds last time, and that didn't really bode well. It was the worst race of the year for the three times out. But the two times prior to that for 16,000 and 20,000 condition non winners of three, horse was right there. So now we're kind of moving up to this, you know, four-year-old and up condition in the claiming race. And I think that's the next progression here. The workouts are good. Just solid horse in general, but no published workouts. That's the other thing. It's like no published workouts. And I'm having a hard time. But the class drop here going on to 10,000, it should be a walk in the park, should set off, and Louis should go ahead and bring this one home as soon as he wants. So I'm going to stick to the one. I don't know where the price will be on that. The one that makes the most sense, obviously, that I'll definitely have underneath, is you can never leave, you know, Irad out on any of these cards, and he's going to have El Turca on the outside on a horse that definitely will be closing late in a sprint race that's run similar conditions two times out this year and has good form recently. So I will definitely have him underneath. When I have the four underneath as well, Flip My Id, this horse, first time out for this year, but the workouts are really good. I think the horse is just as in good condition as it was before. Yeah, it pulled up at the end of the year on Christmas Eve and has not been back to the track since, but I think they got this horse right back where it needs to be. For 10,000 claimers, I think it's in the condition it needs to be. Comes in for the $10,000 tag, and the workouts are good. So I will put the four underneath, see if that one can hold on. And then last but not least, underneath, I will also throw the eight. The eight's going to be Girl Bye. This is kind of a change here. You got Luca Panici riding this horse, which I have no problem with Luca Panici at all. I think he's a great jockey. He just doesn't get as many mounts as he used to, but he's still capable. The speed figures of 81 and 83.3 the last two times out at 5 and 5.5. Really, really good. Comes into a smaller barn here, getting claimed off from a trainer who's having a great meet, if you ask me. Francisco D'Angelo, Jose Francisco D'Angelo, has been a great meet, and now goes over to, you know, Gregory Van's barn. So one last time out, similar condition, bumping up a little bit in class after the claim on a 9-1-3 and going to 10,000 claiming, but should be near the front and has a good chance. And I think Luca could do some damage here underneath. See what the prices are when they come out for the morning line. I haven't seen it yet, but I'll take the one on top. Definitely the 12, which is the scary one for me, and the 8 and the 4 to be in the exotics.
I went with a 4. I think John Rivera, Kelly Breen have a horse that's training very well, running very consistent speed figures to boot. And I think that this horse is probably going to go out to the front, should go out to the front, should be the pace setter, is very capable of running super fast fractions. And on the Tapetta, I think you really need to be placed as forward as possible. Mm-hmm. So it bodes well for this horse. I think, in my opinion, I think this horse is going to be the speed. I think he's going to be the lone speed. I don't think anybody's going to be able to match that speed, which makes me think that John Rivera is going to be able to nurse that speed a little bit more than he's probably used to. Ran at the condition last time, obviously, with Edgar Zayas. Horse pulled up, walked off, no issues. So hopefully there's nothing lingering, maybe just a bad step or just didn't feel right when they're the horse underneath. But ultimately, he's been training very well at 36 and 3, 38 and 3, 37 and 3. You're seeing some pretty fast fractions, fast training fractions here for this horse. So I think they're training well going into this race. The distance is obviously not an issue for them. 5.5 is where it does its best work. So I have the 4 on top. I think hopefully unpressed and untouched speed gets to pull away. I have your 1 underneath. I think you'd be crazy to leave it off the card for everything you said. Saez on the inside. It's been profitable for anybody racing off the rail here at Gulfstream Park. If he gets his horse in the position, will be coming pretty late, but also being able to make that move and have enough horse to possibly pull away. So, I mean, he's training very well. The speed figures look good there. Good combination. And again, Saez getting this horse out the gate is going to be important. And then also I have the 12. So the top two that you have, I also have underneath. You can't leave Irad off. Ran the condition last time. Just came up a little bit short.
Yeah.
But very capable. I think another half a furlong here, and I think this horse is right there. So again, coming late, I'm going to make that late move. Being able to cover seven lengths, you know, is pretty tough to do, especially on the Tapetta. So now if you put this horse closer, if Ired says, okay, that was a little bit too far back, let me put this horse maybe four lengths off instead, could be right there down the stretch. So just a different trip, but not the most favorable trip last time out. So I think closer to the lead, the 12 is going to be very dangerous. Again, at the condition, I don't see why that horse isn't going to be just right there. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. I got the 4 with the 112.
All right. I'm going to ask you the question that everybody listening to the podcast probably wants to know. What do you do with the 7 who's been running quarter horses at Los Alamitos coming back from Golden Gate?
I looked at it. I definitely looked at it.
Got to be going to the front, right? They've been trying to get some wind underneath its sails here and kind of stretching it out on 4 furlongs of 47 back in January. And then they ran it another 4 furlongs
also
back in March.
Also a horse that could potentially be right there.
Should be going to the front.
Yeah.
I mean, in its thoroughbred racing styles, it was going to the front and holding on for the Golden Gate races there at similar conditions, if not higher conditions, at 20,000. And now you're running at 10,000 claiming after coming back from the Los Alamitos quarter horse races. So interesting choice to maybe put on the ticket. I haven't considered. I probably would like to see more on race day how the horse is looking on race day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the training. I'm not seeing anything that's super eye-opening. You know, I mean, 47 is probably the best one I saw, but pretty
48 and 3. I'm not going to really shake it. You see a lot of 49s and 50. These are 10,000 claimers.
Yeah,
these are 10,000 claimers. These aren't, you know, we're not talking higher class races that are horses that we're going against here. Even when it was at Golden Gate, 20,000 claiming, I mean, 21.45 had the lead, 21.45, 22.46, 21.44 goes to the front every time. Could very well. And you got the Ambassador of Speed at
Accurate Fractions.
Yeah. I would call
California
Golden Gate. I would call actual fractions.
I'd like to see one.
I don't trust Los Al or I don't, you know, whatever.
I'd like to see one facing this colony, facing these other horses, I think. Probably should be the speed, right?
And it's fresh off the claim for Bobby DeBono, which, I mean, you know, he does first after the claim, he's pretty good. So
I don't know. Maybe for a price. I don't even know if he's going to be a price. Maybe people are looking at this 5.5 short sprint race as, you know, oh, it should be a quarter horse. The horse always goes short, but in my opinion, it's like, okay, you're only going, you know, 1,000 yards. So
here's the question. Would you put it on the ticket underneath or leave it off completely? You say you want to see one?
I'd like to see one.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to go with the 4. So, I mean, I'm looking at a $3 ticket. So, you know, and play it for whatever. So, I mean, I can add combinations in there depending on what the price is. I guess it's probably
so. Add a price, throw it underneath.
Yeah,
if it's near chalky, toss it.
If it's near the chalk or is the chalk for some crazy reason, then I'm probably steering away.
Then I get it.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
There's better options.
I think I'd like to see one over the surface here at Gulfstream. It's Bobby DeBono, but I mean, and you're getting Yarameo, but why not? Why not Irad? Why not Saez?
Yeah, sounds like a
kind of a question.
Sounds like
that's my question is why Yarameo instead?
Sounds like a 3-5 favorite to me at Gulfstream.
probably
have to toss it.
It'll be 4-1. And then once they leave the gate, it'll be 3-5.
3-5.
Yeah,
it sounds about right. All right, let's go through the 10th race. 10th race, a mile. It's an optional claiming 25,000 condition purse of $91,000 for 4-year-olds and upwards, which have never won $12,000 once other than maiden claiming starter or restricted, or which have never won 2 races, or a claiming price of $25,000. Why get off the rail when you got Cape Trafalgar and Tyler Gaffleone? Second out for the year. It's going to be my top choice, Staffy Joseph Jr. They've teamed up very well. Starting to be a strong combination when it comes to jockey and trainer combinations. And pretty consistent. 87 speed figure last time out, which is for first time out for the year. I'm okay. I like the mile distance. It's optional claiming 25,000 conditions, similar to last time. Just missed by a neck with Murphy on board. There's nothing I really don't like about the horse. It's a 1 win, 2 seconds at Gulfstream Park out of 3 attempts. It's a 1 win out of 3 attempts at the distance. It's 1 win on off track, which is not going to be, by the way. I'm just saying that the weather is going to be solid. So I don't think there's anything to worry about if you take the one on top with Cape Trafalgar. That is going to be my top pick. Underneath, going all the way to the outside, I'm taking the 5, the 6, and the 7. Junior Alvarado and Bill Mott, when they team up, you know, the combination we talk about all the time on here, workouts are sensational. Breaks it's made at 84,000, just missed at 105 both times with Rosario. And now you're going to get Junior Alvarado riding for him. But the workouts recently have been really fantastic since the win, February 21st bullet workout, breezing from the gate 102. You know, I like the gate works and 50-1 and a nice easy 4 furlongs coming in the race. So 5's definitely going to be on the ticket. 6, I got full screen. This is Irad Ortiz. First time out for the year for this horse. Mark Cassie's bringing this, this colt out to this race and the gelding out to this race coming off of a 93 speed figure, which is damn near its best speed figure for its career. You have to go back only 4 back in October to get that. So the horse has been really good form as far as on the track is concerned, running at some considerably stronger race than what you're looking at here. Optional claiming 62,000, 50,000. Now you're down to 25,000. So you got to have the 6 on the ticket. The 6 may actually win. I just wish the workouts were a little better. You got one nice one there at 49 back on March 1st for 4 furlongs. And then I got the 7 outside, Noble Drama. I don't think Joe Bravo is going to win this race, but he does try with this horse pretty consistent when he rides. Last 2 times out, coming off the pace late, get a little bit of class relief coming in here too, and the mile suits the distance. So this is an opportunity, maybe possibly, that Bravo has a shot at winning. I see him more in the second, third position, maybe possibly second. But if you're not keeping if you're not keeping the 6 and the 7, Irad and Bravo in on some of the trifectas or verticals, you're probably going to miss out. I'm sure I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know, but I'm going to try to take the 1 on top with the 3 outside, 5, 6, 7.
So I was looking while you were talking. Did Murphy go back to, like, back home, or did he go back overseas? Like, did he make
I haven't heard anything officially, because the first couple months of the championship meet, he was getting his mounts, and I've seen a couple races, and then I haven't seen Murphy run there in probably
a month. Yeah,
close to a month.
I didn't see anything. I was just looking at his Twitter, and I didn't see anything on there. I saw that he was at, like, was it Charlatan or what the hell is that track?
Oh, he went overseas?
Yeah, it was, and I was looking at the dates to make sure I wasn't... Yeah, what the hell is it? But I was just curious, because I was like, I haven't seen him, and I saw him racing a couple of these horses, and he's not there anymore. He doesn't have the mount. So I was like, I wonder what Chetlam. Yeah.
Chetlam. Yeah. Riding at Chetlam.
Yeah. So I was curious. I just wanted to know. I didn't see anything. I didn't know if you heard anything or if something happened.
Not. He just dropped off.
He just kind of was like, yeah, this isn't for me. I don't know what happened there.
Fucking milk carton. Gone.
Gone. Yeah.
It's gone.
He's not probably boosted around Miami right now. Missing. Looking for O'Shane Murphy.
Yeah.
I have the 5 on top in this race. I think Junior Alvarado and Bill Mott are on a horse that has improved every race. Got out of the secondaitis and was able to get the job done last time out. At Gulfstream, over the surface, I mean, at the distance, I think is all things to look at. Yeah, it's a maiden race, but this horse is training exceptionally well. On February 21st, ran a 102 for 5. If you go back to February 3rd, 101 for 5. So I think this horse is working out very well. It's posting improving speed figures every race.
It was an impressive win, you know.
Yeah.
And losing to Instant Coffee and Disarm, being the two horses that you lose to in your maiden race, I'm okay with that. And then beat Croupy both times in those races back at Saratoga. So horse is very strong.
Yeah, very, very strong. A great connection. I think that obviously I'm huge on the Mott Alvarado connection. It's one that he doesn't mess around with. He always rides well. So I'll have that on top. I think you're crazy if you don't have it in somewhere in your card or your combinations. I've got the 3 underneath Big Martini. I think this horse, again, consistent speed figures, is very versatile in what it can do, right? It's a very tactical horse. It can sit off the lead or it can go to the front, depending on what the fractions are. Yeah, it's not racing in the craziest of fields, but I mean, fits the condition again. The distance, I think, is going to be a plus. I think stretching out a little bit, making this horse go a little bit further is probably better, because if you see last time out, they ran the 6 furlong race and was closing ground, but just ran out of real estate, you know? So
yeah.
I think if you put this horse on the ticket and you got Saez aboard, good trip, closing late, close to the lead, runs anywhere near those other speed figures, going to be right there down the end. Mm-hmm. So I've got that horse underneath. And then I have the 6 underneath, which is Irad, full screen, Mark Cassie. Whole bunch of reasons to put him on the card. If you look at it, running in high class class races compared to this one, good speed figures. It's Mark Cassie. It's Irad. It's probably a high combination, high win percentage. This horse can go to pretty much any track. It doesn't really matter, and still hit the board and be right there. a lot of things to say about this horse. I don't think it's got enough under its belt, though, to win. I haven't seen enough of that from this horse, but I think the mile is what it needs to be at, which is what it's getting back to. I think that's the perfect distance. You know, if you look at the card and you look at its body of work, I mean, it ran in a grade one. It ran in the four-star Dave. You know, it's got the accolades of running in big races and big days. So they obviously see something in this horse, but again, has raced all over the world, all over the country. Doesn't really matter. But just not getting the win as much as you'd like to see. Yeah. But I think classy enough where he'll probably scrape up second, maybe third.
Yeah, his best races come with Lasix on, which you're getting this race. So,
I think I
couldn't agree more with you. It's totally underneath horse.
Yeah,
for totally sure. Underneath. Not an IRAD kind of winning looking horse. More like hitting the board.
It's a horse that, if I'm looking at it, right, and you're looking through just, like, quickly, it's probably got, like, on Twin Spurs, if you're looking at the prime power, if you're looking at the speed, you're looking at all this stuff, you're like, man, this horse should be the one. This should be it. And then you look at it, and you're like, really, is it, though?
You know, it's kind of like it's forgotten what it feels like to be in the winner's circle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been so long. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just one of those. It's there, and it's there at the end to hang out.
So it's a trap pick, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like the ugly girl. She's there to hang out, man. Not trying to show off. Don't want a lot of attention. Just be part of the group.
Exactly. Basically
it. All right, let's go to this 11th race. 11th race, 5 furlongs. Another sprint race on the Tapeta. Optional claiming 25,000 condition. Person 91,000 for fillies and mares for 4 years old and upwards, which have never won 12,000 once other than maiden claiming starter or restricted, or which have never won two races or a claiming price of 25,000. Only one horse in here for the 25,000. That's Frozen Solid, I believe. Yeah, Frozen Solid. That's the only one that's in for the claiming tag. Other than that, these sprints on the Tapeta, it's get out or don't finish. And if you're going to get out, I'm going to go with the two. That's Cavu. That's Luis Saez, Sherry DeVoe. Two great speed figures, 81 and 78. Both of those races. Coming at Gulfstream Park on the Tapeta, one at 5.5, one at 5 furlongs. That last race at 5 furlongs, just really blistering out there. 22-44-1, 56 finish against other four-year-olds in a state bred optional claiming. And now we're changing up here, and we're going back to a an open company and not state bred. So I think it's a little bit of a class relief by going to open company for this horse versus state breds when it comes to Florida and Gulfstream Park. So 2's going to be my top pick. Louis is going to go to the front. I think you should just blow him away, stay on top the entire way. I will have the one underneath, admissible. This horse, they bounced from turf to synthetic. Synthetic isn't the best option for this horse unless you go back to August when it broke its maiden at a 40,000, which really wasn't that impressive. But I would say the last time he ran January 7th at 5.5 furlongs, that was a claiming 50,000 non-winners of two condition. Pretty solid race, running third, only a length and a half off with a couple, I would say, bumps and bruises on the way through in that race. So I like where the horse is at for underneath, so I'll definitely have the one underneath. I think the 4 and the 5 are interesting. Simple Court, that's the 4. That's Paco Lopez. This is another one coming fresh off the win for 35,000 condition non-winners of two at 5 furlongs at Gulfstream Park. And the 5, Jordy's Dream. The speed figure 78 and 77 last two times out, one at Gulfstream Park, one at Tampa. This horse has been bounced back and forth, breaks its maiden, goes to a non-graded stakes race for 100,000, had the lead, and then at the end of the stretch there, just kind of gassed out and wound up third by 7 lengths. So losing to Play the Music. So I think that it was nice that they took him over to Tampa for that race. Now they're bringing him back over to a race they probably would have naturally gone to had they not had the stake option and come in third. So they got a little bit of money in Tampa. They're coming back. You're getting Javier Castellano getting on board for the first time for Bertram Mansion. And I think that this is a good horse to have underneath as well. So I will take the 2 on top, wire to wire, go with the 4, 5, and the 1 underneath for the exotics.
Yeah, I was actually stuck in between the 4 and the 5 as my top pick. I landed on the 4.
You don't sound convinced.
I think it's a game time decision for me. I'm really, because these are 2 speed horses. These are going to be the horses that are going to go to the front. I don't know which one. I really like the class drop, right, for the 5 for Jordy's Dream.
I think they went there for a tag. They just went there for a tag.
Yeah, and I mean, they did very well, too. I mean, like, yeah, you came in 7th by 3rd, but you ran some crazy fractions. The race before in a maiden race, right, way lesser class. I mean, you blew away the field. I mean, not blew away the field, but won by a neck, but posted a 22 and a 44, right? I landed on... And I'll say why I landed on the 4 as of right now. Maybe that changes for me. That last time out was very impressive, right? I mean, yeah, it went up against Murder's Fractions, which is what I think you're going to get out of the 5 on the inside. Was sitting right off, probably ran himself right around a 22. was right there, ran a 44, and then was able to pull down the stretch and actually win by two, almost three lengths.
Yeah.
So a very contested run with a very fast upfront speed, and was able to eat into that on the all weather at Gulfstream Park at the distance, and get the job done. And I think that's going to play a significant factor, especially since this five hasn't gone the all weather surface before. It's only on the turf. So,
and some horses just don't take to
yeah,
the, to
you never know well. How it's going to happen, right?
Correct.
So
that's a negative.
I landed on the four. I just, that class drop, obviously, it was something that I looked at and something that I saw, which I think, yeah, okay, you finished third. But again, you did exactly what you wanted to do on the surface. So I think that's exactly what you want to do here in the Tapeta. But I think ultimately I'm giving the edge to the four. I've got the five underneath for basically everything I just said there.
Yeah.
And the other one I took a really long look at is the six, My Lady James. I think Miguel Vasquez got a really good opportunity here. Carlos David drops off the win. He's 33%. So I think that if you take a look at this horse and one last time out, he's probably got a pretty big opportunity to go ahead and at least hit the board at a minimum. The reason why I also steered away from this horse, Paco Road, last time, obviously probably had the option to ride again, yep. Ride back, did not take the mount, went on the four instead. So it gives me a nod to the four there as well. The all weather is not going to be an issue. The distance is not going to be an issue.
That's a plus. Know? Getting back to the top. That is actually a plus for My Lady James.
Exactly. So, I mean, everything you're seeing there, I mean, this horse does well at Gulfstream Park, right? It's ridden over the surface 13 different times, has won five, came in second twice and hit the board. I mean, basically he's hitting the board at what? 10 out of the 13
consistent
trips.
Clip, yeah.
So underneath is where I put this horse. I mean, again, very consistent, likes the surface, likes Gulfstream Park, does very well. A lot of accolades in terms of, you know, the percentages and stats.
Yeah.
Miguel Vasquez, who's been very quiet because he's not getting a ton of mounts, but you know you're going to get a fair ride out of him. I've got the four with the 5-6. That's probably where I'm going to lean here.
Four with the 5-6. Going back to that five real quick, getting back on the Lace Express probably also helps. You know, so
especially if you're going to the front.
Yeah. So I like the angle. That's why I had it underneath, though. That's why I put it more in the second or third position, is that I think the horse is right. Probably is a great opportunity. It's getting back on laces is a plus. Don't know about the surface change. And then you got the smaller barn.
Yep.
Which is kind of a concern. And I don't like anything on the workouts, on the pattern or not. There's really nothing I like about it. I don't like seeing a 3 furlongs in 39. Right. I don't know what you're doing on that, but that didn't bode any well. So that's why I kept it below. So.
Sure.
But then now you've really talked me into that six. I kind of do like the six a little bit. Or sorry, was that the seven? Would you give
it? It was a six, My Lady James.
The six, My Lady yep. James. Yeah. Saw that. I noted it. Now you kind of boasted my confidence in it. So maybe I'll throw that back on the ticket. Last race, 12th race, mile and a 16th on the turf. Maiden, $89,000. Purse of $89,000 for maidens 3 years old and upwards. Rail's going to be at 31 feet. They will be on the turf. So we're going to extend it out. I'm going to try to go with someone who's going to be near the front. As much as I like to go with speed, I can't find anybody I can really find consistently that's going to go the front. It's going to have the lead in this race. So I don't know where the pace is really going to come from. But I can tell you that IRAD's going to be sitting off somewhere along the way, and it'll probably close late, which he usually does in these maiden races. I'm going to take the one better bet, stretching out a little bit from a mile last time out, going the mile on the 16th. Ran 89,000 last time, same condition. 81 speed figure first time out, looking to improve off that, and it came in third by 2.5 lengths. So if he runs that same race, I think anybody else in here probably going to be able to beat the rest of these in here. We'll see if it runs the race and gets the opportunity. The rail, not so happy about the rail on the turf. But it is IRAD, so I'll take a shot at better bet on top. I'm going to take the six underneath. I think that Saint in the City is interesting. First time gelding. If you look on paper, there's really nothing to like except for two back on a turf race on a mile, which is February of 2023 at Gulfstream Park, where the horse came in third by 9 lengths with Alvarado. Well, you're getting Alvarado back on. It's Bill Mott, and the workout since the gelding has been really, really nice. I think that they got something new they're going on here. I don't know what the tactic change is. Maybe this is the one that goes to the front. Very well possibly could put him on the lead and see if he can go the distance, which probably would be the smart thing to see what you really got after you geld the horse. So six is on my ticket. Could be a sneaker. We'll see what happens on that. I like the 9-2 Juan Valdez. He doesn't only pick your coffee. He also wins races. The last two races, or say the last two workouts, March 2nd and March 9th, 4 furlongs, 48 and 2, 4 furlongs, 48 and 4. I like both of those workouts. I like the stretch out here from a mile to a mile and 16th. Really just missed 3 lengths off, made up some ground, was a nice even push for the first time out this year. Maybe they were waiting on a second time out. They put Paco in the rain, so I like that. The 11 on the outside, this one's real interesting. They're putting blinkers on for the first time. I do like Union Trail and Luis Saez, first time out for the year. This horse has been consistent. Blinkers don't make a lot of moves for me. They don't make a lot of decisions, but if the horse is kind kind of just there and then just kind of fading out at the end, sometimes putting the blinkers on and keeping them focused at the task at hand when they're near the front could actually bode well. That's what I see this for this horse. It's a few other horses getting blinkers. This is the only one I think it can improve on. So that's why I got the 11 underneath. And I will tell you that if by some chance any of these outside eligibles are in the race, the 13 or the 14, Sword of Honor and Unit Economics, either of them make it in, those will be my top pick. But right now they're off the board and it should be Sunny and there should be no changes or need to bring in the also eligibles. But if they are, put them on top. Other than that, I'll stick with the numbers I just gave you. One with the 6, 9, 11.
Yeah, we're pretty close. I have the one on top as well. Knew there was going to be at least one race where we locked horns. I think this horse makes a lot of sense. I mean, at the rail, number one, that's a plus already. But coming from a closing aspect, I mean, this horse was 8 lengths off the lead, 9 at one point, and again, was closing very, very hard and fast, but just obviously
don't didn't say get the, hard and fast.
Pause. It just didn't get the job done, but yeah. Lost by 2.5. I think if you stretch out a little bit more, and again, always looking at that trip behind, why am I so far back? You probably shouldn't be that far back coming down the stretch there. So I think
nine
you
put this wide.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah.
I mean, it's coming.
You really gotta put this horse in a better position. Irad knows that this time. And again, second time out with the mount, I think he's going to put this horse in a better position. He's going to be making the close. And again, in similar fashion, obviously if you're able to go 9 wide and be 9 lengths back and only finish, 2.5 off the lead, you got something special in the horse there. Yep. So I think that's important to note. Again, I like the rail. It makes me think that he's going to get better position right off the bat. He doesn't have to go around horse or get stuck outside. So
right.
I've got the one on top. The 6 makes a ton of sense. I mean, it's Junior Alvarado, Bill Mott again. The gelding angle obviously is a huge, huge angle for all of us. It should be training out very well, doing everything they wanted to do now. It looks like on the training perspective after the gelding. If you look on paper, obviously they just haven't gotten the job done, but was able to post a 91 speed figure in that second race at 84K, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously didn't get the job done. Obviously went bent against, some pretty tough class there.
Carl Spackler.
Yeah. I mean it's a tough race to win.
Yeah.
And I think now with the gelding angle and you're getting Bill Mott Jr. back again, teaming up, I think again, could be a horse right there down the stretch. I don't know if it's got enough to win, but definitely a major improvement I think you're going to see out of this horse.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the last one I have, which I think may or may not be the favorite here, is a 12. Stoke the Fire. It's Jose Ortiz. It's Todd Pletcher. Going to grass, I think, is going to be a plus. Off the claim, I think, is interesting, right? I mean, this is the first time Lasix for the horse. Probably going to improve there on that aspect. You're getting Jose Ortiz, who's having a great meet. The Dam has great numbers when it's going to turf and starters and everything you want to see there. Training out fairly well. But again, first time over the surface at the track, I think is going to be interesting. Will it have enough to win? I don't know. Coming from the outside, it's going to be a difficult task. But in a race like this, you don't need to be in the front, right? So you can just sit off the pace and wait for your movement. So hopefully he just does the right thing, gets him in position, and was able to pull away or get close at the end. So I've got the 12 underneath. So I've got one with the 6-12. Real simple.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a wide open race, I think. I think this whole card is wide open.
Yeah. I think that 7 needs to go to synthetic, keep it off the grass. I don't know why they're running it on grass again, but
yeah,
wild guess with Joe Bravo. That's one that just does not need to be riding on this race. Fly Right, the 4, had a question on that. This is one that's getting blinkers on. I don't know how it may improve. Maybe this horse is in the same condition as where I was looking at the other one earlier that I mentioned on the 11 for Fernando Abreu. 89 and 79 speed figures, ran both races at 89,000 maiden race. This is the same thing. This one, last one was off 7.5 furlongs. Now we're going back to the distance. Could be there for Javier Castellano. The four could be a question mark. I've got that. I'm going to have to look deeper on that, but the 4 is a question mark to me. I wish I really liked that 12.
Yeah,
I do. I actually hope the 12 scratches and the 13 gets in because that's Jose and Pletcher again with the horse I really like, Sword of Honor.
Yeah, I mean,
but the first time on Lasix, and you're definitely going to get improvement on that race from the race last race.
Yeah, sure. I mean, again, it's a crapshoot in a race like this, right? 89K maiden.
Yeah, 89 maidens.
Mile and a 16th, definitely a different race than 5.5 maiden 70K at Ellis Park.
Yeah.
It's a completely different race. I like the claim. I think that Todd obviously sees something there. And again, I think Jose's having a good enough meet where he's going to give this horse a fair shot. So, I mean, who knows?
That race is like your 8th grade social dance. You're like, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. You don't know if you're going to actually talk to a girl or not. If you're actually going to get on the dance floor, you're just going to go in and see what happens.
Yeah, it's. I think that's the entire card. I don't really yeah, feel warm and fuzzy about it. But I mean, we've had good luck at Gulfstream. I'll be honest. I'll probably watch more college basketball this weekend than I will.
I'll keep the two TVs on. I'll keep one eye on the racing, but I'll be watching.
Yeah, I'll watch the pick five. I probably won't watch much prior to that.
It goes for next week too. I mean, next week is all March Madness.
Next week though, we get some big races, so I'll probably watch the big races.
Yeah, and it's second round. Yeah. At that point, right?
Yeah,
first round's in the books. Thursday, Friday,
second round. First rounds, yeah.
Less games, more time to focus on horses.
Exactly.
It is a great day though. That Saturday of March Madness is usually a great betting day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I focus more on basketball at that time. You know, I shift focus a little bit, but I'll watch the big races.
Yeah. So shift of focus for about one weekend and then back to horse racing.
Yeah. Then after that, we're getting, past the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. I'm like,
yeah. But lots coming up. Lots coming up. Anyways, that is your pick five for Gulfstream Park for this Saturday. Future, like I said, Safi coming on next week, albeit scheduling. I think it's a pretty solid bet for next week. A couple prep races to go through. March Madness to cover. And then, it just gets fast and furious after that. Really, yes, sir. There's really no rest for the weary for the next handful of weeks.
No, it's next month. This whole month is going to be jam-packed with stuff to do. So.
Something's going on in April, first week. I forget, but it's pretty major.
Yeah, pretty important. pretty big day in April.
Are you going to be watching races like while you're getting married?
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
Okay, I'll just let you know who wins.
Yeah, all right. Maybe I'll peek.
All right, for myself, Joey Cino, for the kid. Until next week, good luck to all your tickets on Saturday. Until next week, we'll see you then. See ya.